When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shirtless, it's the shirtless. We're singing the shirtless. It's the shirtless, the shirtless plantain show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the Euros edition. This is your host Dean, and as always, but not always, but sometimes, I'm here with my friends and my co-hosts. We start with Coach. How you been, Coach?
I'm back after serving up meats to the fam. Even though I wasn't on the grill, like I feel like I did my part. I heard you guys talking shit. Let me tell you something like that. You guys cannot out-meat me. If you want to go meat for meat, we can go meat for meat, bro. Like, those of you like two people that have me on Instagram, you guys would have seen this shit, right? I'm a meteor, bro. I will destroy your world, bro. So that's what I've got to say on that.
And Tosin, you're also here. And remember, it's not Pride Month for everybody.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know what to say to that. I don't know how we start off talking about meat. But I did end the podcast yesterday talking about locks and hair and braids. So, you know. It is what it is. June is almost over.
It is what it is, my brother. Like, if people only wanted football from us, they'd go listen to The Athletic or some shit. They're here for meats and hairstyles, you know, and that's okay. But we move back to the football. It's day 9 of the Euros. We're down to 2 games per day, which is so sad. And not only is it 2 games per day, fellas, it's 2 games at the same time. So we can't even, like, truly watch them both, you know. But thankfully, we took some time before we started this to catch up on the other game. Which game did you watch on your big TV, Tosin?
Germany.
Coach?
What do you think?
I'm just trying to be respectful of the Scotsmen. They've been very good fans at the Euros. And based on today's result, they'll be going home because they lost 1-0 to Hungary. We're starting with them because we all watched the Germany game on the big TV. So we have more to say about that. Yeah. But Hungary-Scotland wasn't a bad game if you were paying attention from your side eye or with your peripherals and whatnot. Tosin, what did you see of this game?
Scotland need more immigrants. We need to get Oluwa Haggis in there.
Oh, my God.
Because Scotland looks like exactly what France and England would look like without no blacks, okay? They need more Nigerians, they need more Ghanaians, they need more Jamaicans.
They need more Francophone countries for sure. I feel like that's a formula for every European nation at this point. Like West Africans and Francophones, guys, and you're good.
I just feel like the problem is that if before any black people make it up to Scotland, they will just stop in England. It just gets colder as you go further north, so they just stop and like you don't even see niggas in Newcastle.
I'll tell you this. The only reason why we didn't stay in England, my mom had a job offer in Manchester. And my dad said, I do not want my kids talking like that. Let's go to America. So imagine me speaking with a Scottish accent.
You know, a funny story about Newcastle. The first time I ever went up there, I was absolutely gobsmacked that the next stop after Newcastle was Scotland. I couldn't believe how far from home I was, yet I was still in the same country. I was like, what the? They were telling me next stop, Glasgow. Glasgow? I was like, Glasgow's in Scotland? Listen, yeah, it makes sense. It absolutely makes sense that the Francophones and West Africans aren't going to Scotland, man.
No. Like, they just aren't. We're not doing that shit. Tosin, the funniest thing about what Coach just said is that, you know, the distance between London and Scotland is not even as far as Houston to Dallas.
No, it's not.
I'm so far from home. I'm so far from home. Like, bro, like the suburbs of Houston are further away than fucking Glasgow to London. I'll tell you, my brother.
Should we do some Google? Oh, because Because I think,
listen, I'm gonna he was talking about his meat, right? In America, our meat is so big that if you drove from Dallas to Texas, I mean, if you drove from like Austin, Texas to Philly, you spend more time in Texas than you do any other state. That's how big our meat is in America. Freedom, baby. Yeah. That's why I wore this jersey to show y'all about our meat.
Listeners, I have to apologize for all of this. We will now talk about the football. Coach, I didn't expect this from Hungary, but they had what I considered a very physical approach in that first half. I think they got like 3 or 4 yellow cards.
Yeah. So I think they realized that Scotland's plan B was essentially, if shit doesn't go well for us, we're just going to make this a scrap. And if you can beat Scotland in a scrap, you'll just beat them. You will eventually just beat them. And I feel like they just said, okay, we made this into a fight, see what they've got. If they've got anything else, we'll take our chance when it comes, basically. Simple as. I feel like that was the mandate. And yeah, like Scotland were kind of hoping it. I think Scotland were kind of hoping it was going to be more of a football game. And they were shocked. So yeah.
Nah. I mean, my thing is, right, if you look at Hungary striker that came off the bench, right, that's what they're about. Then they got Dominic Szoboszlai, who might as well be light-skinned, but that striker they bring off the bench, the big fella, that's what they're really about right there. Big, big, big man.
He don't like that. He don't like y'all calling him the big fella like that. Y'all heard his feelings. He was in a press conference, like, holding back the tears, like, I can't help who I am. I'm just a big nigga, you know, like, I got big meats. So, my bad. That's coach's fault. Who said that? Anyway. I wanted to ask you guys, though, like, this tournament feels like it's been more physical, actually, just generally. It feels like there's been a mandate from on high for refs to just kind of let the game flow. Are you guys sensing that, or am I making this up?
I love it. It makes me feel like I'm watching a fancy Copa America. It's like I'm watching Copa America with a champagne flute. That's what I'm watching, because...
you are sassy. Oh, my God. This boy is zesty.
like, listen, man. The weather went up in New York, and this nigga got zesty as fuck. It's crazy, man. You know, like, it's crazy.
Champagne flute. The fuck is this?
I'm serious. Listen, they were following each other. I mean, I've watched all the Copa America games, right? And they're basically doing 1999 WWF on each other in that tournament. In this tournament, they're over here just doing WWE, which is a little bit more, you know, the same thing, but it's a little bit more nicer for the eyes.
It's
but
PC, you know, it's woke.
Yeah.
It's woke wrestling.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh my gosh. That's WWE, woke wrestling entertainment. My God. Enough of that crap.
Real eyes recognize real lies.
All right, on we go. The big talking point from this game wasn't actually football itself. It was the injury to Barnabas Varga. We found out later on that he was okay, but it looked like it was basically someone whipped a free kick into the box, 3 people collided, and he was one that didn't get up. It looked scary. I didn't actually see it. You know, I'm just going off descriptions, but did anyone actually see it, and what did you think live?
I just saw the aftermath. I just saw them covering, because basically I heard on the broadcast overhead, they basically were showing it, which they're never supposed to do. And they went on record to say afterwards that, yeah, that's not something that we do, that we did our best to kind of mitigate for what the feed was giving us, basically. But yeah, all I saw was the towels covering afterwards. That's all I saw. But I heard it was horrible, like, really.
Yeah, I saw it. I went to go watch the replay. I was trying to figure out what I was talking about, and I wish I didn't see that. Let's just put it at that. Like, I just wish I didn't see it. So, yeah, I'm glad he's doing better. They said that he's conscious in the hospital and he's doing better, but it's one of those things when you watch, you're just like, damn. You know, it's like when you watched that guy from the Damar Hamlin. It's like those sort of things when you watch it, you're just like, Jesus Christ. Like, it reminds you of just, like, how brutal our sports really can be, and I'm just glad that he's doing well. That's really it.
All right. In the 78th minute, a little bit after this incident we just talked about, Willie Orban fouled Stuart Armstrong. Coach, I saw you tweet about that should be a pen. I didn't see it. I was focused on Germany. What did I miss?
Oh, that was, I was focused. I was talking about Germany as well when I saw that. It was the on Bayer. Yeah, Bayer, when he literally bear hugged him. So that's what I was thinking.
Okay. So we were talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Then I started hearing the chatter about the Scotland thing that I thought you were talking. Anyway, oh, sorry, actually, people. We usually plan that as well. We do.
Sorry, I did. It was on Armstrong.
This nigga a liar. Go on, coach. I'm listening.
So from the angle I saw, I feel like it would have been a very harsh penalty, because he's gone through. He's clear. he's clear on goal. He's gone through, but the defender's not that far behind him. He's gone to shoot. And if I feel like it's almost like a David Luiz thing where, like, because the defender's running behind him, obviously his leg's going to connect with his leg, basically. That's what I felt like I saw from the angle that I saw, basically. So it felt like it would have been harsh, kind of thing. Because he's clear. He's clearly through on goal, kind of thing. And it's like, you know, he does get clipped. So, but I'll just wait from one angle. But yeah, I don't really like Armstrong anyway. So there's that. Whatever.
What do you make of it? Is Coach right on
I mean,
this
I one? Didn't really see it. I okay. did, like, get to take Coach's word for it. Because, listen, that Germany game was tantalizing me. I did see the goal, though.
Well, hold on a second. I didn't ask you if you saw the goal, you bitch-ass nigga. Anyway, we got no VAR involvement in that call either, from what I read. 10 additional minutes because of the Vargas injury, and that's when the game actually started. Shit got nuts. First, we had an Adam Nagy header that missed narrowly. Then the goal scorer hit the bar. Mm-hmm. Then Grant Hanley, who I also don't like, even though I like Stuart Armstrong, but that's Coach's problem. Had a nice strike that should have gone in. Gulashi saves that. Then from a Scotland corner, hungry counter on them. And I'm thinking that Callum McGregor, he chested the ball in the box. I don't know if you guys saw that shit. He chested the ball in the box instead of just waiting for it to drop. When he chested it, he gave the defender time to creep up on him.
Yeah.
And from there, Sabosov, or whatever his name is. How do you say this? I'm going to try to pronounce it properly because he scored a great goal. So, yeah, I'm not doing this. Hungarian names are hard, bros. I'm sorry. Soboth, I think, is how you say that. Yeah. But it was game, set, match after that corner. At that stage of the game, Tosin, did you think Hungary were going to actually do it? Or was Scotland? Because it looked like Scotland were the ones that were going to win the game towards the end of the game.
Yeah,
I didn't expect it from Hungary. But I will say it makes me, the hater in me, so happy to see pain from somebody else. Like, it made me so happy. I was like, wow, look at this. Like, you guys really thought you were going to win. And now, look, you're crying. This is lovely. And this is me being a neutral. Like, it could happen to Nigeria. I'd be sad. But, you know, it's good hate. It just is what it is. Somebody has to lose, and they did. So
this could have happened to Nigeria, he said. Olodu.
we wouldn't even
after that.
We wouldn't even qualify to be there in the first place.
Man, shit is bad right now, man. Shit is bad. But this feels like it was all in vain, Coach, because Hungary now have 3 points in that group. Scotland would have had 4 points if they'd actually won. Do you think Hungary just did some hater shit? Because it looks like they're both going home.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't looked at the rest of the groups, but I think 4 points is going to be the marker for the best third place. I don't think 3 points is going to be enough. But I think, I don't know. I just think it wasn't even hate. Actually, I just feel like they have to give themselves their best chance, basically. But yeah, Scotland are just, I think they're just really disappointing, man. Like, they're just stuck in this limbo of just being shit forever, it feels like. And I actually have a question for you, because where do you really go now with Scotland, especially with Steve Clarke? Steve Clarke is probably as good as it gets for them in terms of a coach. He's not a bad coach at all. I think I actually really like him, to be honest. Where do they go from it, essentially, with him?
I think they just... I don't know that it's about Steve Clarke anymore. They have to, because it's been a while since Scotland actually made any real noise at the international level. They occasionally have something like this happen, something dramatic that we care about, but they're almost always on the receiving end of shit. So they just need
I'll tell you when. I'll tell you when they had something good last.
Okay, tell us then.
It was Euro 96 and 98 World Cup. That was it. And they've been rubbish ever since.
That's a long time ago. A long time ago. But I guess the point I wanted to make was that ultimately, you know, it sounds corny, and I've never actually been part of a process like this in my life, but I feel like they got to do what all the other countries have done. Start from the grassroots. Put money into your youth development. Put money into your infrastructure. Put money into your facilities and see where that gets you in another 10 years. That's all you can do, really. Because at the end of the day, they don't have enough quality. Yeah. Their best player is probably John McGinn.
Yeah.
I know Coach loves that guy to death, but come on.
No, of course. No, you're right. Yeah, absolutely right. I love John McGinn in the context of he's never really gonna be more than what he is right now, kind of thing. And I love that for him. He's just a good player in it. But you're right. I think because I was thinking like really and truly, what do they even have coming up? A lot of their players, legit. I don't mean it's a nice way. They would be playing for England if they were good enough. You see what I'm saying? Like that's just the cold hard facts. You know what I mean? Like what the fuck is a Che Adams, bro? Che Adams.
Oh my god.
So yeah, man. Like.
That's fucked up. Che Adams is a Scotsman's version of a Francophone. That's fucked up. Like, they can do better than that. You know, you're going to need some Nigerians to pull up and fuck with some white woman. It can happen. Just
the Nigerians.
Loosen your immigration laws or something.
Nigerians are in Ireland now.
That is true, actually.
We're everywhere. We're everywhere. We're global. Nigeria is global. All right, guys, enough about this game, which wasn't all that great, if we're being honest. It was just very violent, which is hilarious. The star fixture of the day was Germany, the host, won. Switzerland won. Very bright start by the Germans. Mm. But Tosin, what'd you make of Nagelsmann not removing any of his yellow card guys? I think Jonathan Tah, Robert Andrich were both going to get suspended if he got a yellow in this game. And he didn't even bother to remove them.
He skateboards to practice.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
I don't know what else you want me to say about that. Like, I mean, this is who he is. It wasn't smart. Now Jonathan Tah is out. And, you know, you could have just put Schlotterbeck, who did very well in the Champions League final. He was a good enough person for you to do that. But I don't know who they're going to play next. So they might regret it. But I will say that wasn't smart. That's the one thing I'll say.
One of those yellow card potential suspensions, Andrich, scored a goal that got disallowed. How do we feel about that? I mean, the goal itself, I mean, I know, Coach, you have problems with the goalkeeping on that. I still haven't decided how I feel about it, but what did you make of the goal itself being disallowed, Coach?
In real time, I was like, what the fuck happened kind of thing? And then we start going into slow motion and we're almost like, what happened? Let's look at it in real time kind of thing. Like, do you know what I mean? And we get into that debate. A foul's a foul. Don't get me wrong. A foul's a foul kind of thing. But it almost feels like, if you're given a foul for that and it didn't really affect play, and it's not like it was an off the ball incident somewhere and it could have potentially stopped that player from getting out to the ball or whatever. It was very much a circumstantial. Balls come in, they've both, one tried to defend it, the other one tried to attack it, didn't work out, but the ball's come out now and someone shot. I'm not being funny, like, and they've shot from distance as well. If they had shot within that 6 yard box, whatever, cool, I can maybe understand that kind of thing. But they've shot from all the way from flipping Austria, do you know what I mean? And, you know, the ball's gone in and the goalkeeper's let in. So it's like, I would give it personally, I think. Based on what the reason I'm giving it, I would give it. I know it's not the letter of the law, but I think it would be fair to give it for me.
Yeah, I was just frustrated by it. I mean, like, toast and gone.
I have to double back onto the Steve Clark thing because I just saw something funny. And I'm sorry, I had to go back. They asked Steve Clark, wasn't the penalty. He said it's because he's Argentinian. And, you know, that's Falkland War. Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. But, yeah, he basically said the reason why they give a penalty is because he's Argentine.
Wait, who's Argentine?
The referee. Yeah, and that's what Steve Clark said.
Oh, good. Fair enough. They got Argentinians refereeing in the Euros,
and they got and they also got Italian Euros in Copa America.
Fair enough.
America, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they're doing a foreign exchange student program.
Fair enough. Okay.
So I wonder what he means by he's Argentinian. Is that they just play really violent down there, which is true, or that
Falkland War or something sports? Like that?
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Scotland don't. I mean, Argentina don't care about no fucking Scotland. Yeah. Like, fuck out of here, man. Like, I don't know. All right, back to Germany, though. Dan Ndoye, I've never actually seen him score a goal or assist a goal, even though I watched a little bit of Bologna this year. He's a good player, but the end product, I mean, he just, to me, Tosin, watching him this season, I was like, that's a light-skinned Jorginho. I know that player when I see him. But amazing finish today. Amazing finish today, Tosin.
Yeah, I mean, listen, sometimes you just got to grow up, and he grew up in front of our eyes, so good for him. He's, what, like 2 or 3 goals with Bologna this season, which is not a good return, but you know, he did what he had to do today. It was a very good finish. And I did say he was a player to watch, and I'm glad that he said that. So I'm glad he finished. So good for him. So,
Coach, your boy Jamal Musiala, brave dribbler, lost the ball in a dangerous area, led to a goal. What do you have to say about your fellow Muslim?
We're doing this microwave consumption of football. Like, they play so many matches. The chances of this happening, like, once every so often is incredibly high. So it just happened to be in a high profile European international match. You know what I mean? So what I will say though is they done really well to I think suffocate him and Wirtz, even though they had little moments here and there. That goal came about from the fact I think they realized they could match Germany physically and press them. And yeah, he's lost the ball, but there was about two or three passes after that. You know, Germany got back into position relatively decently, but sometimes a good goal is just a good goal. But yeah, I'm not going to crucify him for it. I think he'll learn from it, but at the same time, that type of play, you don't really want to castrate them, basically. You're not going to tell them, oh, don't do that again kind of thing. No, you want to tell them, no, do that again. Just be fucking quicker next time. That's it. So,
Coach's answer sound like a lobbyist in DC. I love it.
like this nigga did the context. He put in like three caveats and was like, all right. Then also, you don't really want to tell him not to do that anymore. God damn, you are like, when you have kids, bro, they're gonna be so spoiled. Oh my god, you can't discipline the kid.
Dean,
right,
you gotta.
Right. I'm a softie, man.
Dean, you gotta check from Big Playmaker. That's what you gotta check from.
No, for real, like, I actually think about it now. I'm gonna be finished. I won't be able to say no. Like, I don't even say no to my cat.
All that fucking Rui Costa Benfica money. We know where it's going now. This nigga got the Portuguese jersey on even. Oh my God. What a criminal.
You know
what?
I actually regret wearing it now. Like, it's very obvious. I've been paid.
So that's why you like Yao Felix.
No, that has nothing to do with the reason why I like Yao Felix. Be quiet, y'all.
Germany, man, they were actually better before they conceded the goal, which was kind of disappointing. And this was, I think this was what people were fearing from them before those two friendlies, before the tournament where they beat France and somebody else I can't remember right now. But the prior two games were better. This wasn't very good. This was, I kind of got to go back to Coach Chertosin. No vex with me. Well, it feels like Granit Xhaka has taken another victim. Am I correct here? Here we go.
Man, I've been waiting because they've been talking crazy on my boy. Like, listen, he's not anybody's mate. Put up, you know, and maybe it's because of Arsenal's, you know, misfortune of not qualifying for the Champions League, but put up any top midfielder that he's come up against the last 7-8 years, especially if he's played against them more than once and he's left them with more than a bloody nose. I'm like, Xhaka has taken bodies, guys. In his first season, I won't forget, FA Cup semi-final, Fernandinho, he took his lunch. All the way up until extra time, he took his lunch, right? He has this knack of playing better against better midfielders. It's when he's coming up against those weirdos that, you know, probably we can't remember their names. That's when he tends to have his bad games. But the better the opponent, he seems to play even better. And I think Martin Keown was saying it on the broadcast, but I was noticing he took a very measured approach today. He wanted the ball, demanded the ball, but he wasn't trying to dominate the ball. He was plugging gaps like a hooligan. There was no space for Gundogan to run into. I don't know if you guys noticed, but there was no space. And guess who was there? A big Albanian. Like, for real. So he was very much he played a slightly different role, but when he did get on the ball, he hurt them. And he had that amazing shot that Neuer saved as well. But I really think he had the best. I think he was probably the best midfielder on the pitch today, which is, now it's not an alien thing to say. He normally comes out of these games looking excellent. So,
very well said, Coach. Tosin, this Switzerland man, this would have been a famous victory for them. They didn't get it in the end because they eventually considered an equalizer. We'll talk about in a second here. But they probably deserve to win this game, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that second goal, if that guy was a little bit sharper, that would have been a goal. But that was a good finish, nonetheless.
But disallowed offside goal?
Yeah.
He just needed to hold that line a little bit tighter, you know. But
Yeah, but it was a good display from them. Back to Granit Xhaka, I want to add something. The other day I saw a picture of him next to his brother. He's definitely looks like the eldest brother. God blessed him with all the genes instead of his brother.
He's probably shorter than him, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't even think it's a God thing per se. I think when you're both young as children and your parents give you the house key, that just it's like putting on ankle weights. You know, it's extra resistance. So over time, you get bigger, you get stronger. Yeah. You know, I am also a man that was raised with house keys in my pockets, you know, and I'm 6'5", you know. I don't know if you people know that I'm 6'5". Eh? Anyway, you mentioned the Xhaka shot. You know, that was one of, I can remember at least one other really good Neuer save in this game. And it was disappointing from Germany. They really only created half chances. I feel like Havertz missed a couple headers. David Raum came on. I like him. I like that they found Mittelstadt and he's a starter, but I always felt like David Raum was pretty good too. And he whips in a good cross. And the one cross that actually made it to his destination, Füllkrug finished. Coach, the way this whole goal scoring thing is going with own goal at the top and Lukaku VAR after that, Füllkrug might actually fulfill your expectations and be the top scorer in this tournament.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think he's the perfect profile for this tournament to come off the bench. Like, not everybody has a Füllkrug to come off the bench, which is, it works in Germany's favour. But you look at the composition of Germany's attack, and they've pretty much got a mix of pretty much everything that you need. They've got a pacey winger they're not using right now in Sané, but then they've got two creative outlets who can dribble and carry, who can move the ball over great distance, but then he's also got someone who can move without the ball over great distance in both Gundogan and Havertz, right? And then on top of that, you now have a certified, not boogeyman or pedophile, sorry, but a certified target man, right? A certified target man who can come in last 15 minutes. He's stronger than everybody else. He's going to have that half yard as well. You could just lump it up to him. Germany have so many solutions attacking-wise. I suppose it's probably their Achilles heel is probably going to be defensively. Füllkrug is going to be huge for them in the knockout rounds for sure because of that. Germany are not going to get blown away by anyone. They're going to probably be in a few more tight games, and he could be the one to break the game late on. He's proven it enough times. So,
well, before we move on, is there an argument that he should just start?
No. And I put it like this. This German team are incredibly technical, right? And all of the good work that they do kind of thing relies on having a striker who can do all of that with them as well. And while I do like Füllkrug, over the 90 minutes, he's going to be much easier to snuff out than if it's the last 15 minutes and it's panic stations for centre-backs and everybody else now, because he will fight. The game is easier for him to affect rather than from a different game state from the beginning.
Tosin, big playmaker, huh? Yeah. That lobby. They hit hard, man. He picked the false nine over the nine. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Tosin, one of the guys that's supposed to be a really good tool for Nagelsmann in this tournament is Leroy Sané. You've seen him a couple times in this tournament. What are you thinking of what you've seen?
All right. So first of all, I tweeted today that this is exactly why they got Michael Olise. Because again, if you've watched enough Bayern this season, you know, no offense to Sané, great player pre-AC. I think that injury really has taken its toll. Like, yes, he did well against Arsenal, but he hasn't been the Leroy Sané that we know, right?
What are you saying fuck me for?
I'm just saying, he did his thing. You guys know he did his thing. But what I'm saying is, like, over the season, right, he hasn't been the Leroy Sané that we all know. And, you know, unfortunately, injuries take a toll on people. And I've seen enough Bayern Munich to know that, like, there's a reason why they want to get rid of him and Gnabry. Like, it's just time to upgrade. And that's why Gnabry didn't get called up. And that's why Leroy is looking like Leroy. I mean, I feel bad. You know, there is still a player in him, but I just feel that injury has really, really messed him up, man. And you see, like, in the cameos over and over again that he don't got that pace no more. And I think that perm is also holding him back too, you know. So sugar free, you might have to go get braids or something like the rest of the Netherlands. So.
Oh man, are there any insights, coach, that we can take from this Germany performance? Are we going to see more games like this or more games like the first two?
It depends on who they get, but I suspect that because they have such a an easy system to play actually from front to back, where they have the correct profiles in defense, in midfield, in attack, kind of thing. I don't feel like teams are going to find it easy against them, because football is all about maximizing your strengths first and foremost. And I feel like Germany are probably the one team across the competition, Spain as well, probably, that have found a way to maximize their strengths more often than anybody else, kind of thing. If you're doing that with the likes of Musiala, Gundogan, Havertz, and Wirtz, kind of thing, there's very few other teams that can match that sort of firepower. So they might be coming across teams again, maybe like an England or whatever. England are going to surrender the ball to them, which is what Germany want. You know what I mean? And that could play into what Germany, that could play into more into Germany's hands than England's hands, kind of thing. So they might be coming against teams more and more that are going to sit off them, because they can't really match them, because they haven't got their own, they haven't figured out, you know, how to get the best out of their own players, kind of thing. So I'm really curious to see how, if Nagelsmann is gonna, you know, fight his inner Green Goblin mask to change something, but I hope he doesn't. I hope he just kind of just keeps things relatively the same, because there's enough there. So,
fellas, I have a question for both of you. What do you think about David Ryan when he came on the left back?
I think Dean touched on it, to be fair. Like, there's no reason why he shouldn't be starting over. I'm just calling him Milston now, because it sounds like that, right? That's what I want to call him. Yeah, but again, the first Milston has done nothing wrong to be dropped. So yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think Rom actually, from a profile standpoint, actually kind of seems like more of a wing back than a fullback, really. So maybe that's why he's on the bench. So, you know. In any event,
I mean, he does play left mid for Leipzig, so that makes sense.
There you go. So, you know, so maybe Nagelsmann pays more attention to the team than we do. Oh, man. All right, fellas, this has been fun. Only two games to talk about, but we did stretch it out for the people. Actually, I'm going to pause that because it's been too meaty on this
pause. I was waiting for you to say pause. I was like, hey, yo, that's crazy. But listen, it is Pride Month. So,
I'll be honest, just guys, just meet up this week. Really, meet up with your friends, meet up with your family, meet up with your work colleagues. Just meet. And while you're meeting with them and you're sitting in meetings, And you go to the athletics meet, share this podcast with them, and like and subscribe. And meet out
and use protection, please.
Everyone from us, we're out. Take it easy. Meet.
All right. It's the Shirtless Plenty Show.